Hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah guys, welcome to the latest episode. How are you doing, Lucy?
I'm good, you know, holiday vibes, you know. Got that week off, relaxing.
Well deserved.
Well deserved. I've been working. I'm tired. Indeed. Let me rest.
Very nice way to kind of like close out the year.
We're heading
towards the end of the year, which is crazy, but
yeah. Crazy. This year went by so fast. Very, it's very absolutely mad. Insane.
Very, very mad. So yeah. But yeah, let's get into it. Short episode today. Just because obviously we're recording while Indian Wells is taking place on this fine Sunday evening. But yeah, we closed the last episode talking about the shop. Just because Naomi Osaka was on the latest episode. And yeah, she basically spoke about like how she has the itch again, like to play. I was trying to figure out whether this was recording after the US Open or before, and like kind of looking at the calendar and stuff and like who was also on the shop or that episode with her. Jadakiss from the Lox, he was on there talking about the versus battle. And obviously that took place like during the US Open, so it kind of made sense to not assume, but yeah, you can kind of gather from that it was recorded after like Osaka's exit from the US Open. And she also described like her relationship with social media, which I thought was quite interesting. So she basically said how like she basically deletes apps like after using them, just so like she kind of like can just completely switch off. And obviously she's quite active on like Twitter and Instagram as well, I think are the main two. Mm-hmm. So that I thought that was quite like not significant but interesting to kind of hear that like perspective. And like, yeah, well, I mean, what did you take from like her comments on the show?
I think it shows again how much that the comments and things that are being said online affects her mentally, and you know, when it's time for her to play and stuff. And that's completely normal. Everyone is different. There's some people who read negative comments and they just laugh about it and move on, and there's some that really gets on to them, and there's no right or wrong answer. Like, it's just about how you deal with it. I am happy to hear that she does have the itch to play again, because my fear was always that she really allowed those people get so much to her head where she's thinking, you know, I don't want to play, blah, blah, blah. And at the same time, even yesterday, I had someone in my mentions just talking rubbish. Obviously, I didn't reply back
to them. We'll get to your mentions later on, actually. But yeah.
Someone mentioned, literally, he was going on about how, like, yeah, he feels like she's never going to come back. She won't, like that's it, she's done. And I'm thinking,
jeez,
if it, like, how do you base this on just a little, not a little, but like there's this moment where she's not really herself and she's mentally not okay, and then completely dismiss everything that she's accomplished? If she's won one slam and then she's been inconsistent a bit, I can understand, but she showed 4 years of consistency. Like, she was literally playing the best tennis. And then, she's just in a position where she's not really okay. And again, that's completely fine. So it's just, I don't know, it's just to me, it's just crazy. But I'm just happy that she made that comment. I wish the shop was a show where a lot of tennis people knew about. We all know most of the tennis fans are white, middle class, and definitely don't know what the shop is. So I wish they heard that to let her know, so they can understand that she still has this love for tennis and she still wants to come back. So I'm saying she takes the rest of the year, you know, just to herself, work on herself a little bit mentally, she can be in a healthy pace, and then start 2022 season with a bang.
Yeah, no, well said. I think as well we should kind of give a bit of background, like, or context as to what the shop is. So it's literally it's kind of like a, I think it's like a half an hour, 40 minute show. And it was founded or created by LeBron James, the basketball player, was obviously a world star, and like his business partner Maverick Carter, and they have literally like various kind of like celebrities, athletes as well, that just come on literally in a like barbershop setting and just like talk about like life and like they're kind of like life experiences. And it was a really good episode in terms of like the varied guests on this episode with Osaka. So you had Wanda Sykes, who's like a American comedian, Kevin Love, who's a basketball player, so fellow athlete. Who was the other guest? Jadakiss, obviously a rapper.
Yeah.
From you know, the Lox.
Rap legend.
Exactly, and like it was just kind of nice how they kind of all just just conversated and like just shared like their experiences of life.
Apparently, even Jadakiss asked Osaka to hook him up a cool day with her boyfriend so they could make a track together or something.
That was like some like
I would not mind because he's Jadakiss, obviously he's like one of the top 5, top 10 rappers, especially from New York, and Corday is one of the new gen
up and coming. No, definitely,
like they're both lyrically really great, so I never thought of it of them in one track, but if you have the goal, Jada saying, yo, I want to make a track with you,
it will happen. So I definitely think it will happen.
I'm really hoping so, because he is dropping an album soon and I'm really looking forward to that. Corday, so
stay tuned. But just on Osaka before you like wrap up again, very like significant what you said in terms of like just basically what she's achieved already in the game, like she's won 4 grand slams, like what, she's not even 25 yet,
back to back.
So like just her achievement, she's been world number one, like she's currently outside the top 10, I think she's 12th at the moment, but we all know that's because obviously she's not been playing.
Yeah,
but yeah, she has absolutely nothing to prove, and that's something again that I did kind of pick up from this episode, in that she, although obviously she did speak about like her relationship with Demetri, not even relationship, but just that whole episode, not doing press and stuff. But she does seem a lot more like at ease, like with herself. And I thought that was really good to see, like going forward. And like you said, we just hope come 2022, like she's ready to go again. So
that's it.
And again, it's good to hear that she has the itch again to play, because she is missed, like 100%. So yeah, that wraps up Osaka. Next up, so we actually broke this on our like social media. So Zach Evenden, friend of the pod.
Wait, hold on. Don't just drop it like that. You have to say this is the Black Spin Global exclusive.
No, but it's just because we ready.
No, because it is, because who else? Nope. I'm not taking this lightly. This is thing. So guys, here is a Black Spin Global exclusive. Eugene, carry on.
Breaking news. So Zach Evenden, friend of the pod, like I said, so he confirmed to us that he's now working with Americans Hailey Baptiste and Whitney Osigwe, which is just very exciting. So obviously two young Americans. I think they're both 19 at the moment. Hailey Baptiste, she's ranked 150 in the world. Osigwe, 274. So yeah, both looking to like climb up the rankings, and like I said, both still teenagers. So just very exciting to kind of see Zach, obviously he was Francis Tiafoe's former coach, now back in the game, and now this time working with two women. So WTA, from the ATP to WTA,
two Black women.
We love to see it. So yeah, very excited to see how that all plays out. And I just stay tuned. Like we have things in the pipe or in the works with some of these players. So I don't want to say too much at the moment, but you could already like guess what we're kind of hinting at. But yeah, staying with Baptiste, she picked up a nice win actually over Jasmine Paolini at the Chicago Full Tennis Classic, which was
was a good match actually.
Yeah, that 500 event.
I remember watching some of it. Yeah, that was a good match.
And that's literally where I saw or clocked Zach, like in her, well, watching the match. And Whitney Osigwe was sat next to him. Yeah, this is the thing.
I didn't realize.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, hang on a minute. Like,
because I watched that match. Well, I think I missed a bit of it, but I did watch it. But I didn't realize.
Instantly, I was like, I need to investigate what's going on here. And then literally just hit him up. And yeah, he got back to me pretty quickly saying, yeah, like he literally just started working with them like 2 weeks ago. So just like I said, very exciting. And we look forward to seeing like, yeah, just how that all plays out, because they are two very young, like exciting players. And I know that, like the USTA, they're very like, yeah, they're very excited about both of them. So we look forward to seeing them, playing on the WTA tour. And off, well, the final part of our roundup, Guillaume Monfils. So he reached the Sofia Open final. An incredible stat as well from that. So it was 17th for the 17th consecutive year. He's reached an ATP tour level final, which is just like mad. Like only Rafa Nadal has a better record. And I think next after Monfils, it's like Novak Djokovic. So like that just shows the company, like in terms of like, yeah, just like what he's achieved in his career.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And like in Sofia, he did play some good tennis. Like he did have he had one walkover actually. But yeah, I want to say his semi-final went to three sets. And that was against the American Marcos Giron. And then he lost in the final to Jannik Sinner. And obviously we all know Jannik Sinner's a top young player. They played each other as well at the US Open like a few weeks ago. And it was just quite nice to kind of hear Jannik in his victory speech just say that, yeah, basically, girl, like tennis needs you. Like we all know already like how loved Guillaume Monfils is. But I just thought it was really nice to kind of hear that from like an ex-gen player, basically, which Jannik Sinner is. So yeah, it's just nice to see Guillaume Monfils playing like good tennis, considering the tough time he's had like in recent like months. But he looks basically over that now, and like yeah, he looks pretty much back to his old self, which is really good to see. And yeah, that wraps up our roundup. So like I said, we're literally recording this in the midst of like Indian Wells taking place. But before we get into like the draw and like what's going to happen, I want to get into Lucy's Twitter.
Get into it, guys.
So like this Indian Wells is like kind of like greatly anticipated because it was like the return to the tour of Emma Raducanu, the US Open champion. And like yeah, just so obviously we're in England, like the press has been just insane in terms of coverage, like around
press fans
around her. Like I'm just about press, for instance, because like yeah, I see it literally every day, and like
yeah,
people are like not
at work.
This is what I'm saying. People are like, they're like, this is too much. Like literally there's a story every single day. Like even when there isn't really a story, basically formulate something, exactly. But yeah, long story short, Emma Raducanu, so she was seeded at Indian Wells. I think she was like I can't remember the actual seeding, but she got a first round bye, as all the seeds did. So in the second round she played Alexandra Sasnovich, and yeah, ended up losing in straight sets. I wasn't that surprised, I'm not gonna lie to you. I did watch a bit of it, but it was late, so I couldn't watch all of it. But I wasn't completely surprised in terms of the result. But yeah, Lucy, if you want to like just kind of, I've got here the tweet.
If only people could see my face right now, I'm just like,
well. But actually, before you get into your tweet, like what were your kind of expectations of Raducanu coming into Indian Wells?
Exactly how she ended.
Okay. So you weren't expecting her to go on a tear.
I did not expect her to go past that round. I knew she was going to lose that first round because, number one, there was a lot of pressure. Number two, she, as much as the player that she played against, who if it's not like a top player, that player still has way more experience than her to be playing at a tournament level. Do you get what I mean? And I think that's what people tend to forget, is that Emma does not have the experience as much. So it's going to take a lot of time for her to get to where she is. And again, people also forgetting that, which I always pointed out, I might get you didn't really agree with me when I said this, but people also forget that, you know, even her draw went during US Open, she didn't have crazy players. So she hasn't had that experience, whereas you had Layla, who has been playing against top players even before the
Grand
US
Slam
Open.
Champions and stuff. Yeah,
you, no, get,
you did say yeah. That, yeah.
So that's my thing. And I feel like when I was making that point before, it made it seem like I was a hater, but I knew why I was making it, because it's leading to this. Hence why I believe it's going to take a lot of time for her to think. And on top of that, she got rid of a coach. So she's coachless. She's literally doing just vibes.
Just vibes.
She is, because she even said her press conference after her loss, she was like, yeah, I'm literally still looking for a coach if anyone wants to come work with me. And I'm just like, I'm not going to lie, this is slightly embarrassing. If you're going to get rid of your coach, at least have a plan, number one. Fair enough, your coach doesn't have any experience, but you don't either. Mm. So do you get what I mean? To me, I felt like it was a rash decision. Even though she had a point, I do feel like she should have still kept her coach and then tried to, you know, tell her team, like, yo, in the meantime, can you guys try and find me someone else, or blah, blah, blah. Or even let your coach stay and bring in another one. There's nothing wrong. Some people have three coaches. So true. I don't understand. Do you get what I mean? It's like, I don't know. But yeah, the way she is right now is the way that I think. And I just hope that, you know, but she seems, you know, very focused and determined. So I know she's going to work her ass off. But either way, you know, we'll see.
Well said. Do you want to just like read what you tweeted, and then we can get into one of the replies?
Yeah.
That I thought was very significant.
So tennis Twitter that day was bloody hilarious, obviously. But yeah, like, to me, I saw a lot of, you know, backpedaling and stuff. But one thing I did like, which was nice to see, was how a lot of people were supporting Emma, saying that, you know, let's not put too much pressure on her. You know how the British press even stopped saying British tennis player. They literally just say her name now. You know how the British press is. When we win, we're British. When we lose, we're Romanian, Chinese, Nigerian. Wherever we are. So I was reading tweets and I seen a lot of support, and I was like, oh, okay. So I then made a tweet saying, reading a lot of tweets showing support to Emma due to pressure, very nice to see, which I really do mean that, but would have been great if you guys kept the same energy for Osaka, but hey. And my reply after that was, but we tough, right?
And like, yeah, that got like a lot of attention, like
a lot of attention,
tweets,
yeah,
replies. But literally I clocked this on Saturday night. Mark Pecci, who I really respect and like admire, because I think he's one of the great like tennis minds. He worked with Andy Murray, like he was Andy Murray's coach for a while. And like he's like a co-commentator/commentator now in here in Britain. But yeah, his reply to Lucy was basically that he said, I've unfollowed both. Meaningless probably in the overall scheme, but I don't want to be part of the problem that they suffer such huge expectations of providing the perfect life on social media. If you want to protect them, then actions will speak louder than words. Like, and again, I'd found that very quite poignant, the fact that like he's someone that's literally in tennis, like he works in tennis,
exactly,
and like he can obviously, he sees like the reaction, like everybody on social media, and like you said, it was mad, like immediately after, not just the press, but like tennis Twitter, which I hate that term, but it does apply to this. Like, yeah, they were kind of like, just some of the responses were a bit mad. And like, also, like you said, it was great to see the support given to Raducanu. Obviously, she's
100%.
18, she's a kid.
Yeah.
And like, as kind of Osaka has like alluded to now, and like really shone a light on, like athletes really go through it. Like, when after losing a match, it's like quite traumatic.
Everyone.
So I thought it was very significant of you as well to kind of mention Osaka and like just say, wow, like, yeah, where was this energy for her? Like,
but we know why.
And this again, like Lucy, again, I don't want to just say it's simply down to race, but like, I mean,
this
is what I'm saying. Certain instances, like this is something you cannot hide away from that fact. Like, it's sad to say it, but yeah, that's literally the case.
That's what it is. And that's why it made me laugh when I was seeing some people's reply to that tweet. Mm. So someone even said one is 18 and one is 24.
They're both kids.
But this is, I don't reply to trolls, but that tweet, I literally just said, number one, age shouldn't matter anyways, but if you do want to go there, Osaka won her first slam when she was literally, she just turned 20.
Yeah, true.
So what's the excuse there? And she had crazy pressure because if we all know, her first slam, as much as it was a history, it wasn't one of the greatest memories because there was so much going on.
All that stuff around.
Not only the press was chatting shit, but they were also using her to pit, you know, to go against Serena. So it's like, bro, she has had the pressure from the very beginning, because not a lot of people knew about Osaka before she won that thing, mm-hmm. that US Open. It just boom.
Did you reply to Pechi? I don't think you did.
I just liked his tweet.
Okay.
I just liked his tweet because there was so much discussion and stuff.
What would your response be like? What did you think what was your response to his tweet, basically?
Do you know what? Some people, for example, some people were saying to him, like, unfollowing a tweet is not enough, blah, blah, blah. Like, it doesn't do anything. But then when I reread his tweet, he literally even said, it might be pointless, but this is what I can do as a fan. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean? Because some people were like saying, yeah, but they can still read a tweet. So, okay, besides unfollowing, we don't need to say Osaka is driving me crazy. We can say, oh my gosh, she's driving me crazy. She's not going to see that tweet. Exactly. She doesn't follow me. Do you get what I mean? So I feel like it's just interesting to hear his point of view because he's someone that was in there, but a different generation and stuff. But that's why to me, I read it like, oh, that's cute, because you can see that he's like older gen and, you know, social media to them is a bit,
he's quite active on social media, like on Twitter.
He quite is, but it's different when you're using Twitter as a fan and when you're a player.
You
know what I mean? So I know, for example, he probably would have said a little bit more if he had that experience, but it was interesting. I honestly, when I saw his reply, I was just like, no, that's not him. So that's why I was just scrolling. He's not verified as well. So that's how I was just like, oh shit, yeah, actually it is him. But well.
Because I would have replied and said, listen, you need to hit her up and like basically offer your coaching services. Because like I said, he's a brilliant mind. Like I loved hearing him talk about tennis. Like he knows so much and like goes into proper depth. So it wouldn't hurt Raducanu if she had someone like Pechi like in her camp. But that's for her and her team to kind of like figure out. But no, like obviously, yeah, this is obviously a black tennis podcast, but we support everybody. Like, so I don't want to see Raducanu suffer. Like I want to see her play like for many years to come, because I think she's an amazing talent. And like, I wasn't happy to see her lose, but at the same time I was like, wow, like at least this will kind of like ease the madness in terms of in the media anyway, like around her, because it was too much. It was far too much.
Bro, that's why, from the media to the fans, when I was just sitting there just watching it, I was just like, what the fuck is this? What? The only thing that annoyed me and that really made me upset is the fact that they were using her to discredit other players.
Yeah.
Trying to compare her to Serena Williams.
You just cannot
like,
do that.
Like, this type of stuff were just driving me crazy. And that's why I made that tweet.
Do you remember when I got killed? It was during the Australian Open. When I was talking, well, I was basically saying how Osaka and Serena, like, I didn't compare them, but I mentioned Osaka.
I remember
Osaka
that too.
Serena,
yeah, but you were saying
tweet.
That.
But I was giving Serena praise. Yeah. But this, like, Serena stand just came for me. Like, I was like, oh, jeez, like, let me just fall back.
Because at that time, there were some Serena fans who still didn't understand that Serena Osaka was still cool as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them are still thinking that US Open. But it goes back to that whole point of the US Open win, is that people let the media get into their head and made them think that Osaka was a bad guy.
Yeah. And there's like,
when
this
time they even hatched a patch, like Serena sent her a long letter apologizing and, you know, like they've been cool. And then, but the media just put that idea into their heads. But yeah, man, I just wish people were just praising Emma and left it just as there, instead of just discrediting other women who's been there for longer than her, who's accomplished way more than her. And I feel like, to me, that's why when people gas up Emma, I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I have not seen enough for me to be praising this woman like this. I need to see more.
I need to see way more. Now. Like, she, obviously, she
needs to prove herself.
She has the talent to do so. So we should just literally leave her and let her, play her game and just don't put silly pressure on her, because it's just not fair.
But back
to the tennis and like what's actually been happening. So let's start with the women. We had a first round meeting between Sloane Stephens and Heather Watson, and that went to three sets. That was on day one of the longest matches I've ever watched. It's just, and we kind of spoke about like the conditions off air, Lucy. Like you said, the courts, they're not playing the quickest. It's ridiculously hot as well. Like, it's like it's California, isn't it? So the
it's
West
just
Coast.
So bad.
But yeah, that was a match played in like pretty tough conditions. But yeah, Sloane Stephens came through in three sets. And in the second round, she played Jessica Pegula, so her compatriot, and lost in straight sets. And Pegula, she's been in pretty good form this year, so wasn't the biggest surprise. But I think Stevens would be a bit disappointed because she's played well like towards the end of the year.
I feel like with Pegula though, you just never know. There's some matches where she's playing like her best.
Yeah, I hear you. She's been very.
There's some matches are just like.
She's been very good this year though. Like I hear you. I think the clay season she kind of struggled a bit, but like the hard courts and like yeah, she's been really good. So not a massive shock there. Madison Keys. So she also reached the second round. So she beat Kay Kanepi. Or Kay Kanepi, sorry, in the first round. That was a straight sets win. I think she won the first set 6-love. She did win the first set 6-love. And she was like 5-love up in the second. And then Kanepi came back. But yeah, the Keys held on to close it out. I think 7-5 in the end. But then, yeah, Keys then lost in the second round to Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, who was the ninth seed in straight sets. Again, not a massive shock there. Pavlyuchenkova's in pretty good form. And then we had wild card. So we had Katrina Scott. She fell in the first round to Amanda Anisimova, again, compatriot. And Anisimova's a pretty good player. So not a massive shock there. They did actually play each other at the US Open in 2019, I want to say. Or was it 2020? I think it was 2020, actually, during the pandemic. And that I think that went to three sets. Although this year in Indian Wells, it was a straight sets win for Anisimova. Baptiste was also a wild card. So she fell to Martina Trevisan in the first round, the Italian. Basically that ends Scott and Baptiste's involvement in Indian Wells. Still going though. So as we record this on a Sunday, these matches are yet to be played. So Paolini, she was a lucky loser. So she lost her final qualifying round match, but got through as a lucky loser into the main draw. And in the first round, she played a qualifier, Mei Hontama from Japan. And that was a three-set win for Paolini. And then in the second round, and I watched this match from start to finish on Friday, just gone. She took out Elise Mertens, the 14th seed, who's a top 20 player.
That was a good match.
Really, really, really good match. It was a three-set win.
I think it was that match that made me realise that Paolini actually has like a lot of strength. Like she's very strong.
I didn't realise how strong she is. Yeah, I enjoy watching her play, man. Like she's just
especially for like a small self.
She's got such a small frame, but like yeah, she's a proper fighter. And like literally can give anyone trouble. Like Azarenka really gave her some props after their US Open meeting. Yeah, do you remember? So yeah, Paolini, she's still going strong. Who does she play next? Get this up on Twitter. We have tweeted it, so bear with. She plays Pegula. She plays Pegula next. So,
oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, that's gonna be literally Sunday Sunday night, Monday morning our time.
Yeah, 2 a.m. our time.
Yeah, but we won't spend too much time talking about time because obviously we don't want to update the thing. Coco Gauff, so she started her campaign on Saturday. So she's a 15th seed, got a first round bye. She took on Caroline Garcia in round two. And that was a
How was that match? Because I missed that one.
It was a three set win. So Gauff started so well. Literally came out flying, won the first set. 6-3. And then Garcia patterned up in the second set, took that in the tiebreak. Gauff was like, you know what? It's like she flipped a switch in the third set and just cruised it 6-1. So a really good win for Gauff, like because that Garcia is a very talented player. Like she's been struggling for form as well. But like she's a talent. Like so for Gauff to kind of come through that, I want to say like without problems, like there were, her forehand was a bit off at some points, But for the most part, like, she was pretty solid. And again, she's I kind of not had to like prove a point, but I think it's so important we remember her age. She's 17. Like,
yeah.
She's literally still developing, like, right before our eyes. Like, I know we just had the US Open with the two teenagers, but they're literally a year older than her. So she's 17, yet a considerable threat, like, to what in the women's field. So yeah, she plays Paula Badosa, the 21st seed, in the third round. And that's going to be an interesting match, because I think that again, that probably has a free set epic written all over it, but we'll see.
But speaking of Coco, sorry,
yeah,
she is playing also doubles for Indian Wells.
Love that, indeed.
But with Fernandez, do you reckon there's something that's, is she changing team?
No, I don't think Katie McNally is around, so I don't think it's a thing of like her and McNally not playing anymore, like, in the future.
Because I was just like, bro, like, you guys just reached the US Open.
But to be fair to both of them, they have kind of switched up, like, during the season. Like, McNally played with Baptiste earlier in the year. Do you remember they won in, I think it was
right,
Charleston?
True.
So,
yeah.
Like, it's not like
Coco played with Venus.
Exactly. Like, they're free to kind of, like, yeah, play with whoever. Yeah. And the thing is with them as well, because they are more focused on their singles, like, they can kind of be, like, flexible with, like, the doubles and, like, who they choose as partners. Obviously, we all know that is the team, like, McNally, Goff. But, yeah, I like seeing them play with, like, different players. And I think this is quite exciting as well.
Seeing Fernandez.
Yeah, because I think they won two rounds. So I think they're through to, like, the quarterfinal, I want to say, which is pretty good going. So, yeah, good luck to them in the doubles. Moving on to the men now. So Francis Tiafoe, friend of the pod, he's going well. So he took out Benoit Paire in the first round.
Bad vibes, Paire.
To be fair, he's fixed up a bit, like, of late.
He's fixed up, he did.
Which is good to see.
I was actually worried about him, more of a mental type of thing. Yeah. I do wish the ATP did look more into it, because he really did look like it was like he was depressed type of thing. He was acting out
because he was getting fined left, right and center, and I think he did complain, but he did say that the whole bubble life is just not him, like,
you could see that it was COVID that got into it, and that's why I was like, it's so obvious, so why isn't the ATP doing anything? But then again, we're talking about the ATP.
But yeah, Tiafoe, so he took out Pair, and that was a 62 minute win. Pretty straightforward, and I thought really good for Tiafoe as well, because that's not an easy player to play against in terms of, like, Pair. We all know, like you said, he's a bit of a joker on court, like, he kind of throws in the odd weird shot here and there, but Tiafoe just stayed with it and, like, just was locked in throughout that whole match. And then in his second round match, he played the 32nd seed and fellow American Sebastian Corda. And again, I was so impressed with, like, just his overall display. Like, he took the first set 6-love, so bageled Corda, who's, like, ranked, I think, 9 or 10 places above him. And in the second set, he won that 6-4. So it was a straight sets win for Tiafoe. And after the match as well, like, we all know he's a bit of like, he likes to play up to the crowd. He, like, basically pointed to his ears to, like, say, oh, like,
make some noise.
Do you get? But I kind of think that was like a, because I'm not American, so I don't know what the conversation is in America. But from what I do kind of hear and, like, read here and there, it does feel like certain tennis heads in America, in terms of, like, the kind of ex-pro or former pros and, like, coaches, Tiafoe is someone that's, like, almost forgotten about when they speak about, like, the young players coming up. And, like, someone like Corda is given, obviously Corda's very talented, and I think he's working with like Andre Agassi is, like, someone he's Agassi is kind of considered someone he's quite close to. So that relationship is always, like, often spoken about. And I just think, it's like disappointing to kind of not hear Tiafoe being spoken about, because he's still young. He's like, he's not 25 yet. He's 23, 24. Like, he's still very young. So I thought this is a very significant win, in that not only was it a straight sets win, pretty comprehensive, that was a second meeting, and this is the second win for Tiafoe. So he's 2-0 against Corda, And like this is hopefully will be like a rival that will play out for a long time, like mm-hmm. over the years. So yeah, TFO, he takes on the eighth seed, Hubert Hurkacz, next. And again, I think that's going to be a very, very good match. So again, good luck to TFO against Hurkacz. Qualifier Christopher Eubanks. So he's reached the second round of a Masters 1000 event for the first time. So he beat Igor Gerasimov in straight sets, 6-3, 6-3, which is a very, very good win for Eubanks. I think Gerasimov is just outside the top 100 at the moment, but a pretty good player. Like he's had some big wins this year himself. So good win for Eubanks. And he takes on the 29th seed, Nicholas Basadashvili, next. And I think I want to say that's tonight, but again, we won't spend too much time talking about when matches are. But yeah, good luck to Eubanks against Specialist Vili. And then finally, our seed. So we've got Felix Auger-Aliassime, who's the 7th seed, and Gael Monfils, who's the 14th seed. They both have first round buys, so they start in the second round. Auger-Aliassime, he starts against Albert Ramos-Vinolas of Spain. And Monfils opens against Gianluca Maggia of Italy, who he literally played last week in Sofia. So they can't get enough of each other at the moment. But yeah, good rounds. I think good draws for both Felix and Monfils there. And yeah, we hope they can make a run in the Californian desert, which is going to be...
TFO's next match is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, Hurkacz.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah... So how do you see that going?
Very entertaining. But I feel like I tweeted this earlier. Although there's the slow courts, which I dislike, I do think that is a plus for TFO and his playing style. I feel like that's why he's more like, you know, from the highlights that I was seeing and stuff, I was like, okay, I think this court, that helps him a little bit.
Interesting. Yeah.
So yeah, gonna see. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a very entertaining match, actually.
No, I hear you. I agree, to be honest. I'm very excited about that as well. Before we actually close, Lucy, I do want to shout out Paul Jubb. So I forgot to mention this in our last episode. So he won. This year he now has 4 ITF titles to his name. After winning an M25 event in Sintra, I think it's in Portugal, and literally won 2 tournaments in back-to-back weeks. So again, like really, really, he's doing really well, like in terms of like just his level in terms of playing on the ITF tour and just picking up wins. Like I said, that's his 4th title in 2021, and he's only 21 himself. So just kind of like, yeah, making his way and like, I guess trying to build some momentum, and hopefully we see him on the ATP tour soon. And also I want to shout out Dustin Brown. So he won a doubles title in Napoli with his partner Andrea Vavasori. I want to say he's Italian, judging by that name. Mm-hmm. So yeah, shouts out to Dustin Brown and his partner Vavasori. I want to actually, we might as well, as we're kind of in it, predictions, or not predictions, who's your pick, both men and women,
for
the title? So we've had, I think on the women's side, there's been a big seed that lost. Who was it?
Who was the first seed for the women's? Because I know Iga's the second. She's still in.
Pliskova. Karolina Pliskova is the top seed.
Oh. She's out, isn't she?
I want to say she's still in. It's Muguruza that's out.
Yes, Muguruza's out. I can't lie. For women, I really don't know.
It's tough, isn't it?
I generally do not know. I genuinely can't tell you for women. Maybe I actually had it. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. Men's, however, my two faves for the moment are Medvedev or, to be honest, TFO.
Go on. I like that a lot. Yeah.
Mainly because, like I said, I think out of all players, he's the one that seems more comfortable with the condition of the court right now.
No, so
I really hope that he takes it to his advantage. And if he does and he remains focused and he keeps up with that energy, I think he can make it far. But besides them two, I don't know. I'm kind of stuck with this tournament's really pick thing, but women, I generally can't pick. But for men's, I'm literally between Medvedev and Tiafoe.
I like that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, women, I'm going to go...
See? It's not easy.
It isn't. I want to say... I want to say Coco, but that's just like insane, I think. Considering she's playing doubles as well, but who knows, man?
Mm.
I'm going to say Coco.
Coco or Layla?
Layla's a shout, but I do think the US Open, it's a lot of tennis like that she's played in recent weeks. So I'm not sure if she'll be able to like sustain, but we'll see.
We'll see, true.
But I do like your TFO pick because I feel like he's got something about him this week as well.
His energy is different.
Yeah, like especially that win against Korda. Like, I like that.
Exactly.
But I want to see Felix. I think if Felix can adapt to the conditions as well, because the conditions are crazy. Like in terms of the heat.
Yeah.
I think he has a very good chance. I don't think Medvedev's going to win it, you know. I think he'll...
Do you think it's because of the same thing, because he's tired?
Pretty much, yeah. And I think the conditions as well. Like
he said in an interview that how, like... I think he was saying the same thing, like how people didn't expect him to, like, continue and win and blah, blah, like, even bother playing in Worlds. And he was just like, why am I going to stop playing, like? Just because I won it doesn't mean I'm going to stop. You know, people are paying for my dinners. I might as well continue. He was making it. Because he said that since he won the US Open, like, people actually offered to pay for his dinner.
Wow.
So he just slid that in as like a little joke and stuff. But life.
But yeah, no,
so
I
for
mean,
him to have, that's why I think I picked him, because of the fact that he made that comment saying that he doesn't understand why people expect him to stop playing just because he won Slam, which is really good to see, because it is true, a lot of people win a slam and then they're not playing until the end of next year, exactly, doing, you know, you press and stuff. Chilling. But he's not someone who cares about press like that. I think he just wants to play and just keep going and keep up with the momentum and stuff, especially that we don't even know what's happening in terms of Australian Open. Remember, are we dealing with the same thing as last year? Do people need to be vaccinated? Like, do you get what I mean? We're still not unsure what's going on in our first slam of the year. So
no, very interesting, but we'll see. And yeah, Lucy, that wraps up this latest episode. Like we've already kind of said, like, obviously Indian Wells is literally the main tournament taking place at the moment, so just obviously keep enjoying that. And yeah, obviously shout out to everyone competing in that as well. Good luck to all our players still in the draws. And yeah, until our next episode, we thank you for listening and take care.